I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Mention again, we started the show off with Scott Jennings. His new radio show, The Scott Jennings Show, is going to air weeknights at 8 p.m. on 97.1 FM Talk. He started that show. It's hard for me to believe that it was like 7 weeks ago when Jennings started that on the Salem Network, and he will be airing tonight. He gave us a nice preview a couple hours ago here. If you want to use the rewind function, you can do that and go back to about 3:18 on 97.1 FM Talk on the Odyssey app. John Anderson's coming up in a little bit. He is Illinois GOP Senate hopeful, probably won't be a senator because they tend to vote Democrat in Illinois. But he was at the meeting last week in the Schaumburg area at the school district where you have a 6'3" biological boy that's going to play on the volleyball team. So he's going to join us. We also have audio cut of the day coming up. John Ziegler back with us, the co-host of the podcast, The Death of Journalism. How are you, John? Welcome back. It's been just a little bit. Haven't spoken with you much this summer. Hope all is well.
I'm doing well. Hope you're doing okay as well.
I'm doing better. I will tell you that. I had a rough start to the summer, and I think I kind of let you in on that a little earlier. You just put up a tweet a short time ago that said, so we're going to get into it here. To review, Trump has just taken government ownership of 10% of Intel, declared that he wants a Department of War, supposedly made flag burning illegal with heavy mandatory punishment, claimed that many Americans want him to be a dictator. Now, I did not hear the dictator line. There's often situations where Trump is, I think, misrepresented by the media because he's just joking. So I don't know about that one. I will say this. I've always been somebody who has defended the right, the constitutional right to burn a flag. I think that that's kind of silly, although there seems to be nuance to that with rioting if you really hear the executive order. But you're not too much of a fan of the things that have been going on here the past day or so with this president, which is not unusual for you, John.
Well, for the record, with regard to the issue of dictator, I actually did tweet that some of the media is taking what he said a bit out of context. There was some context. It was in relation to the issue of essentially nationalizing the police in Washington, D.C. However, what Trump said should never come out of the mouth of a United States president, that some people or many people in America would like me to be a dictator, or words to that effect, should just never be said, regardless of what the true intent was or what the context is. That's literally in our mission statement. No kings, no dictators, no tyrants. So that's where I have a problem with that. As far as the flag-burning executive order, and that's part of this problem, is that this is an executive order. And I'll be the first to acknowledge that the executive order itself doesn't really do very much, which is not unusual for executive orders, because essentially what it's doing is it's moving the line of the Supreme Court decision on flag burning ever so slightly, in my opinion. What it's doing is it's basically reducing the threshold for criminalizing any riot that might ensue because of a flag burning. But that is still, to me, dangerous, because I'm a big believer, Mark, as you know, in the slippery slope. And while I don't agree with flag burning in 99% of cases, free speech is so important in this country that there needs to be a firewall, literally, in this case, a firewall, where you even allow the burning of your own flag. And that's under free speech. It's protected free speech. The U.S. Supreme Court and Antonin Scalia could not have been more clear about this. And now, by executive order, which is awfully king-like, Trump seems to be diminishing that right, and that's concerning to me. So all these things to me, Mark, here's my last thing I'll say on this, and then you say whatever you want. If they were done by a Democratic president, MAGA world and the MAGA media would be going bananas. And rightfully so.
I think on most of it they would. I don't know on the flag burning, because I think, like, if you pull that out, most people, most Americans, probably even Democrats, think that that should be, illegal. I'm with you, though. I've always defended it as a constitutional right. What it seemed like they were saying, and Will Scharf, who's a Missouri guy, was there when he was signing that executive order. It seems like what they're saying is if you go out into your front yard and you burn a flag, John Ziegler, you're protected constitutionally. But if you do that and it incites a riot, well, then that's not protected. But I would think that we would have statutes that would address inciting a riot outside of, you know, burning the flag anyway.
True. But also, how is it that you should be held responsible for the actions of what people do in response to your free speech?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an absurdity. That's not free speech. I mean, by the way, under that circumstance, you could provoke someone into being put in jail for a year if you didn't like them. Let's say there's a liberal on your street, you don't like them, they're burning the American flag. All you got to do is create a fake riot and they're going to prison for a year.
Yeah.
That's not America. I mean, we're not far from there. And that if you interpret the executive order word by word, that is very, very plausible.
Well, let me ask you about your opinion, because, you know, you're talking to someone here in a very crime-ridden area. I mentioned this earlier. There was a slate that was thrown up on Fox today that said the top five most dangerous places in the U.S., Memphis, Oakland, St. Louis, right there in the middle, Baltimore, Maryland, Detroit, Michigan. You have Trump moving in the National Guard in D.C. The rule is a little different there because it's the nation's capital. But are you uncomfortable with the National Guard? I think we probably talked when some of this was going on in L.A., and I can't remember what your take on that was.
Well, I do agree with you that legally, constitutionally, D.C. is a different animal. I mean, for a whole host of reasons. So I think Trump has more space there. And, you know, so I'm not as inherently offended, or I don't believe it's as dangerous. Now, is this a precedent for then doing the same thing in other cities? That would be concerning, because what's the threshold? What's the standard? When do you start? When do you stop? And, you know, we saw during COVID when, you know, I mean, California, Gavin Newsom declares himself a king and a constant state of emergency with no end in sight. And it went on for over 2 years. So that is concerning. But I think if it is isolated to D.C., I think this is actually a political winner for Trump, because it's clear the crime is going to go down. He's going to prove that that basically Democrats are not in favor of cutting down on crime in their Democrat-run cities. And I think that this is probably a win for him. And I don't have a huge problem with it if it is isolated to D.C. because of the unique legal circumstances there.
Yeah, that, I think that's kind of what my take has been, certainly on that front. I got to ask you about some politics stuff here, national politics. I don't know. I just spent a little bit of time on this last week, but Shane Goldmacher is one of the reporters at the New York Times that kind of does this deep dive into the bleed out that the Democrats are having with partisan affiliation. Now, we're not in a state here in Missouri where you have to declare whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, but there are 30 states, I think, that do that. And when this guy at the New York Times and another writing partner went at the numbers, it was pretty staggering how different in Pennsylvania and some of these other key states the numbers were so lopsided toward Republicans. What do you make of that, John Ziegler?
Well, I think I'm one of those that's probably been slow to recognize this political significance of this. There were people talking about this during the 2024 election, and it did turn out, by at least on the presidential level, to be a precursor. For instance, in Pennsylvania, Trump won Pennsylvania, and the registration numbers were trending very heavily in Republican favor there, and I think that's not a coincidence. However, I do think this could lead to a bit of overconfidence among Republicans, specifically when it comes to the 2026 election. Because how do you explain how it is that, and I know people don't like polls anymore, but virtually every party ID poll when it comes to congressional support next year is very much in the Democrats' favor. And I think that, these registration numbers plus the fact that Democratic Party approval is way down nationwide, I think in a deceiving fashion, because I think there's a whole lot of Democrats who are not willing to say they approve of the Democratic Party who will never, ever vote for Republicans. They're pissed off that Democrats aren't fighting Trump hard enough. So those people are still going to vote for Democrats in the next midterm election, where Trump's name is not going to be on the ballot. So while I think registration numbers are significant, we're still got a long way to go. If the economy is doing well a year from now, then that changes everything. But I think right now Democrats are heavily favored to do very well in the next election, as they traditionally do in any midterm election.
Yeah, they would
they just
be.
Lost.
But if you kind of dig into some of the polling on what we call the 80-20 issues or the 90-10 issues, deporting criminal illegal aliens, the polling is 75-25. DOGE style elimination of waste and fraud, 73-27%. This includes a lot of Democrats who are opposed to these things. Closing the border, discouraging illegal crossing, 67-33. So the list kind of goes on down, and these aren't even fringe issues. These are issues where every issue, a majority of Democrats also agree with Republicans. Now, how that manifests itself in the midterms, when everything a year from now, to your point, could be completely different. The economy, although we had some people predicting we'd be in recession territory even the end of this year, the stock market's back up. Things seem to be going well. Inflation numbers are down. I'll be fascinated to see what happens, because to your point, you know this, John, history would favor not only like a small tilt in the Democrats' direction, but they could gain a fair amount of seats next year. And that's what this redistricting battle is all about. So you got California, Texas, Missouri is in on some of this as well. Will that make any difference when it comes to the numbers and the math heading into next year?
It could make a significant difference. I'm obviously very much in tune with what's happening here in California. I'm probably Gavin Newsom's number one critic, although I have a lot of competition for that. I think what he's doing regarding redistricting is beyond outrageous. I mean, even by California standards, to spend over $200 million to call a special election for purely partisan means and motives to reverse the state constitution. We've already voted on this, Mark, as you know. We have a very set plan for how we do districting, and to do it purely as an attack on Donald Trump as a way to jumpstart your 2028 presidential campaign. All, by the way, while Los Angeles is not rebuilding from the worst wildfire in its history, and you're just sitting around doing nothing on that front, and you're getting away with it because of a compliant, non-existent news media in this state and a non-existent Republican Party, is absolutely infuriating. But I'm starting to believe that in the long run, and this might be why Republicans are kind of a little bit muted in their attacks on Newsom, because I think they realize in the long run, this is actually going to be good for Republicans. Because if California is successful in doing this, yeah, they'll pick up 4 or 5 seats, tops, Democrats will. But they will lose the moral high ground countrywide. And Republicans in many states, including yours, will be able to do basically whatever they want if they control the state legislature. And in the long run, Republicans will probably pick up more seats than they lose, maybe by a large margin.
So what is Newsom up to right now? There seemed to be that point earlier this year, he's doing some podcasts. He seemed to at least give just a little bit, not unlike Mayor Pete did a few weeks ago with the fairness on the trans issue in sports. But is he kind of taking it in another direction now based on some of the polling out there where he wants to be just as crazy as he's always been?
Well, his strategy is clearly that he's going to be the number one anti-Trump fighter, and it's working for him. Now, it's bizarre that Democrats are gravitating to the guy who they think is their anti-Trump fighter when he's using Trump tactics. I mean, all of them. I mean, not just the way he's tweeting, which he's trying to be funny and imitating the way that Trump tweets, which, by the way, I don't have a big problem with it as long as it's funny. Oftentimes it's not. But he's also using a lot of the same political tactics, including in this redistricting fight. And so it's bizarre to me the Democrats, they hate Trump so much that they're trying to find someone who's as much like him as they can possibly get. Not to mention, and I've always been fascinated by the fact that, you know, Newsom is basically a pseudo-member of the Trump family. I mean, his former wife was the fiance of Donald Trump's favorite son at the time, Donald Trump Jr. Now she's been jettisoned to Greece because Donald Trump Jr. has a new girlfriend. But you know, Newsom and Trump were very all too friendly during COVID. It drove me up a wall. And now, you know, they're enemies again. So I think that from a purely political perspective, at least in the short run, what Newsom is doing is going to be effective. I think because Kamala is no longer seen as a legitimate threat. I mean, frankly, I don't think she intended people to take her book announcement as her not running in 2028, but it seems as if people are just deciding she's not running in 2028. And without Kamala there to block Newsom, because I think Kamala blocks Newsom. You can't have two people from California. There's not enough space. I mean, even though they're both celebrities.
I think you're probably right about that, yeah.
And so I think Newsom has seen that Kamala has opened the path and he's running right through it like a bull. And I think it's going to work. If she doesn't run, let me put it this way. I don't know that he's the favorite to win the nomination, but he is guaranteed to be in the top three. And if you're in the top three, you know, the brakes go your way, you got a hell of a chance.
John Ziegler with us from the Death of Journalism podcast. I haven't spoken to you in a while, so there's a couple media stories I was curious about. What do you think about Colbert being canceled, although not canceled till next year? Thoughts on that?
Well, I think it was obviously a financial decision. I think he's lucky to get as much time to say goodbye as he wanted when the show was losing that much money. I think the proof, you know, it didn't take very long for the facts to really come out here and for us to realize what the truth was. The whole idea that this was a political decision by Paramount was absurd. Have you watched what South Park has done? South Park is a Paramount-owned show, and they have been going after Donald Trump after the sale and the merger harder than they ever have previously, harder than Colbert probably ever has. So this was purely a financial decision, and I think it, in the bigger picture, Mark, I think it's symbolic of the fact that the media landscape is not just changing, it's collapsing. I mean, I'm a firm believer that in a few years, not all three major networks will have even evening newscasts.
I believe that.
It wouldn't surprise me if only one of these or maybe two of these late night shows survives as we currently know them. And, you know, look, I hate the fact that they're all run by liberals, and I hate the fact that all the gatekeepers in the major media have always been liberal, or most of them for many generations. But part of me is going to miss the fact that we have gatekeepers at all. I mean, to me, the only thing that might be worse than having only liberal gatekeepers is having no gatekeepers. And that's where we're headed.
It's kind of sad. No, I'm with you. And it bothers me. And, you know, local journalism is another story altogether. Hey, on the sports journalism front, I don't remember if I saw a tweet about this, but SportsCenter tweets something out that says all the icons, all the moments, all of ESPN, all in one place. And they put this graphic up that has all these players and even some broadcasters. They had 11 WNBA players plus the WNBA broadcast team in the montage, just one soccer player, three MLB players, three NHL. I mean, they just when you think they can't outdo themselves in embarrassment, John, they do on a regular basis, don't they?
And no Tiger Woods.
No Tiger Woods at all. No, the greatest. All of the greatest, right? All of the moments, all the icons.
It was so bad, they actually deleted it. I don't know if you know that.
I did. But, I mean, I did know that, yeah. I
mean, it's just unbelievable. It's comical. I mean, it's a parody. They're a parody of themselves. And they're going to get worse because I think one of the most underrated sports news, whatever you want to call it, media stories, not just of this year, but of this decade and beyond, is the fact that in just the last couple of weeks, we have now learned that the National Football League owns 10% of ESPN and owns a certain percentage, we don't know the exact percentage, of CBS. Now, how in the world?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Possibly cover by far the largest sports organization in the country when they literally own you. It's just ridiculous.
You cannot make it up. Yeah, you cannot make it up. And then let me close here with golf because I spent some time on this. Did you see how Tiger has been appointed the the kind of the point person to what they're describing as proposing some radical changes in the world of the PGA Tour? What are your thoughts? Where could that take us?
Well, I've been probably the biggest Tiger Woods fan there ever has been. I used to have a worldwide famous website devoted to him. And so, I mean, I'm a huge Tiger fan. I'm a competitive golfer and still to this day. So, and actually for a very brief time, worked for the PGA Tour a million years ago. First place I ever got fired from PGA Tour Productions. But so I have a little bit of, I think, credibility on this issue. I am concerned with where this is going because the entire focus seems to be on making sure that the most famous players get as little competition as possible. We've seen this with these signature events, and and to me, golf has always been a meritocracy. That's what it's always supposed to be. How famous you are, how rich you are, doesn't matter. It's how well you played or how well you've been playing that gets you into these tournaments. And I just don't think that's Tiger's vision. I think Tiger and the PGA Tour, and it certainly fits with everything else we've seen in sports now, where fame really truly does matter, even when it comes to sports competitions. And I don't think that's a good thing, especially for golf.
How about Tommy Fleetwood finally getting the PGA win and wins, what, like $20 million doing it?
Well, it's fantastic that he did that, but it's a joke that, a guy who has never won a PGA Tour before yesterday is officially crowned as the season champion.
I know, that's
when
weird.
When Scottie Scheffler had one of the greatest years in the history of the sport. I mean, it's a ridiculous system and needs to be fixed.
Yeah, that part of it, we agree. John Ziegler, always great to have you on. I hope all is well. I hope the scorecard is treating you well on the golf course this summer. Thank you, John.
Thanks, Mark.
All right,
what does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Donor advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
I think I referenced this last week, and we may have touched on it on the Reardon Roundtable, but there's a lot of self-examination going on, and both parties do this. I mean, the Republicans, what was it, more than a decade ago, they did their autopsy after they got their butts whipped in an election, trying to figure out which direction to take it. The Democrats are doing that right now as well. But what's funny is I don't think a lot of the people on the other side are going to take the advice that are given to them. So there was this list that came out last week. I think it's like 40 words or something like that, that this group, the Third Way, put out a memo. And they were basically trying to say that, you know, most Democrats do not run or govern on wildly out of touch social positions, but they kind of do. But voters would be excused to believe that they do because of the words that come out of their mouth, words that sound like we are hiding behind unfamiliar phrases to mask extreme intent. So the person who wrote this on this website, which is called thirdway.org, says, why the tortured language? After all, many Democrats are aware that the words and phrases we use can be profoundly alienating. But do they? But do they know that? Because they use it when they use plain, authentic language that voters understand often rebounds badly among many activists and advocacy organizations. They write, these activists and advocates may take on noble causes, but in doing so, they demand compliance with their preferred messages. And that is how birthing person became a stand-in for mother or mom, which is just ridiculous. And if we don't think more carefully about our language, many in America will be banking on help from Donald Trump and Republicans because Democrat levers of power will be few and far between. Now, look, they say that in this memo, they're putting a spotlight on the language that they use that puts a wall between us and every people of all races, religions, and ethnicities. They should have done this years ago. Some of us have been talking about how ridiculous this is for at least a decade or more. But this memo says that these are words that people simply do not say, yet they hear them from Democrats. And they could not be more right. So they say, these are awesome. Therapy speak. These words say, I'm more empathetic than you, and you are callous to hurting others' feelings. Privilege. Violence, as in environmental violence, dialoguing, othering, triggering, microaggression, assault, invalidation, progressive stack. Not sure what that one is. Do you know that one, Sue? Progressive stack.
Nope.
Centering, safe space. That's one we've been familiar with for a while. Holding space, and then body shaming. So they're recommending that anything along those lines, get rid of them because people don't say stuff like that. Seminar room language is another category here. This language says, I'm smarter and more concerned about important issues than you are. Subverting norms. Systems of oppression. That's one that's used at every university in the country. Critical theory. Cultural appropriation. That's always one of my favorites. I mean, you can't even dress up as somebody or you
for
are.
For Halloween.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You're accused of cultural appropriation. Postmodernism. Overton window. Existential threat to climate, the planet, democracy, the economy. You hear that one a lot. Then there's another category here. They have several categories. Organizer jargon. These words say that we are beholden to groups, not individuals. People have no agency. Radical transparency. Small d democracy. Barriers to participation. Stakeholders. The unhoused. You can't say homeless anymore.
Of course not.
The unhoused. Food insecurity. Housing insecurity. Person who immigrated, right? Person who immigrated. Then there's the gender orientation correctness category. These say that your views on traditional genders and gender roles are at best quaint. Birthing person, inseminated person,
ugh,
pregnant people, chest feeding, cisgender, dead naming. All of these things are just so ridiculous. Heteronormative, patriarchy, LGBTQIA+, easier to say, the alphabet mafia. The shifting language of racial constructs. These words signal that talking about race is even more of a minefield. You will be called out as a racist if you do not use the latest and correct terminology. Like I say Latinx, is it Latinx? It's Latinx. You know, the LA Times went on this thing, and this may go back about 10 years, where they said we're going to use the term Latinx, even though a majority of people who are Hispanic hate that word, and they simply do not use it. You know, I used to be a news anchor and a news director and a news writer. And there was a guy that wrote a book. He was a legendary CBS news guy. His name was Mervyn Block. And he wrote the definitive book on writing news scripts many years ago. One of the things that always stood out to me, and I even tried to enforce this with people who worked for me when I was a news director. You know how you hear that there's a race for governor in a state, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's called the gubernatorial race, right? Nobody uses that word. The only people who use that word, not even, I remember Merv Block even wrote this, not even the governor uses the word gubernatorial. But all the news stations and the Associated Press, they have to use, you know, the terminology like that, even though people don't use it. And this takes it a step further, right? Like BIPOC. Allyship. I don't know that one. Do you know that one?
No, I don't.
Intersectionality. Minoritized communities. Then there's the explaining away crime category. This says the criminal is the victim. The victim is an afterthought. And they could not be more correct. Justice involved. Carceration. Incarcerated people. Involuntary confinement. So in this organization, thirdway.org, says, look, some will take issue with the inclusion of words or phrases we ask Democrats to avoid when talking to the public. And to reiterate, we have used some of these phrases in our own writings in the past. But before you draft your angry tweet thread, think about conversations with persuadable voters in your own life, especially friends, family, and coworkers. What I love here is that these are people, if you use words like this, you love words like this. You don't care what other people think, and you're going to keep using them because you think that you're the oppressed and white people are bad and they're the oppressor and everything about this country is bad. So they're going to keep using language like that, which I think is awesome.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Fred has set up our good friend Ilya Shapiro, one of our constitutional experts, for tomorrow night to talk about the constitutionality of flag burning. John Ziegler and I earlier this hour, we kind of agreed, look, I think it's a guaranteed free speech right, as reprehensible as it is, but Ilya will have the lowdown on that. I also think that that EO, the executive order, is a little nuanced, and it's nuanced on purpose, but we'll talk about that tomorrow. We have Congresswoman Ann Wagner will be here tomorrow in the 3 o'clock hour and a bunch of other stuff as well. There was something that I wanted to mention, Sue. Well, first thing I would say, you know, in the previous segment when I was doing the words that the lefties are being encouraged to not use, you know, in different categories, some of the speech issues, during the break, I happened to look at our company email, which is actually rare for me because I only check it a couple of times a day. I prefer my personal email, but I won't name the person. But I noticed that one of our executives, and they do this. And, you know, I've said this before. If you ever get to a point where a company is going to force me to use pronouns in my email, I think I'll be walking out the door. But we still have virtue signalers even here with the company. You would think that in the aftermath of what happened last year that people would say, you know what? Even that Michelle, what's her name? Michelle Lee over at Channel 5, the chick that blocked me because I happened to ask a question about her personal pronouns, she took them down. They were so damn important to her. But she still took them down.
That's interesting.
It is, isn't it? I find it fascinating because she was very beholden to those personal pronouns last year or 2 years ago, whenever it was I had that dust up. John Anderson is here. He's running for the United States Senate in Illinois as a Republican. But my understanding was at this meeting last week that got kind of hot in Illinois, where you have a volleyball player who is a biological man who is trying to play with the girls.
I'm disgusted by the way this district has dismissed the safety of these young girls, as well as the safety of the young girls on the opposing teams that they will be playing. I am disgusted that the district is robbing these young women of athletic opportunities, not only at the high school level, but potential opportunities to compete at the collegiate level. The district is in direct violation of a federal executive order and risks losing their federal funding.
Every time we have a story like this, and there was another one that came out of, I think, Oregon this weekend with a track star who is trans, who took some titles. I'm just stunned by it, Sue. I think that we still are, even though we've been talking about this for a long time, the pendulum has certainly shifted. Majority of Democrats think that this is an issue of fairness and ridiculous. But here we go again in suburban Chicago. John Anderson, who I mentioned is running for the Senate in Illinois, is with us. John, how are you? Thanks for coming on 97.1 FM Talk.
John Goodman, sir. Sorry to correct you, but John Goodman, like the actor guy.
That's even easier. I'm sorry. I'm going to throw my producer under the bus here, but I appreciate that. John Anderson happened to be another Illinois politician way back when, back in the day, that ran as an independent candidate for president, as you might know. Well, John, I apologize for that. Many apologize. So what is going on here? How is this even possibly up for debate in a suburb of Chicago or any place else?
Well, you know, this isn't the first time it's happened in the last month or two. Even in Naperville, they had track stars as well, girls track athletes, several months ago, make records and take home medals, and they robbed the girls. But aside from fairness, my main concern with this one was safety. The trans person who was on the volleyball team, the girls' volleyball team, was 6'4", biological male, and it was ninth grade volleyball. I'm sorry, but you got to take safety and concern with that, because people will get hurt. I mean, I don't believe in I'm not woke or DEI or whatever, but you got to take common sense into these things and say, hey, someone's going to get hurt, and not try and push ideologies on people, you know?
Well, and we have seen this happen with volleyball in particular, where there was a player in the video that went viral from last year. Maybe it was, you know, the year before. But we've seen
McNabb, right?
Yeah. Well, right. We've seen the velocity at which these balls are being hit over the net with a 6'4" biological male against freshman girls, I think would be dramatic.
Yeah, and I used the example I told them to Kenda, letting a grown man play, you know, peewee or you know, football, Pop Warner football or whatever. And that may sound like hyperbole, but the parallels are factual. More muscle mass, more bone density, larger size, and more athletic prowess. Someone's going to get hurt.
Well, and so, again, I mentioned, I pulled this up here. There was Peyton McNabb was the young college athlete who was spiked by a trans competitor when she was 17, and that changed the trajectory of her life. And she is featured in a documentary. I haven't seen this. It's called Killshot, How Peyton McNabb Turned Tragedy into Triumph. So it's a story that's being documented. I think that's something you can watch on YouTube right now. When you were there in that room, though, we played some of the audio from, you know, the parents who are justifiably outraged. Was there a fair amount of support for this happening, and how exactly did they express that support? Was the fairness issue something that they never even think of?
Well, so there was, I would say, about even split between parents' concern and then activists and students who were trying to push the trans agenda. That being said, all the people who were concerned were bringing up safety issues and violation of Title IX, et cetera, et cetera. The ones that were for it, all they would say is bigotry, bigotry, bigotry. And I'm sorry, but it's not. And they were trying to act like it's veiled bigotry. It's not. It's actual genuine concern. And if you want to talk about equity and equality, you're robbing from from girls, their motivation, their self-esteem, their ability to succeed in sports. If you're letting, biological males compete at any level,
Well, I think we do know, and I think most of the listeners right now, they understand that. I think most Democrats understand that as well. It's unbelievable to me that this is still an issue. And, I'll use this example up in, this is like the Schaumburg area of Chicago, right? Conant was the high school. So, if you Google that right now, you'll see very, very little coverage of that in the legacy media. It's like the TV stations in Chicago, ESPN, the sports media. They don't cover these stories at all. You have to actually dig and find the audio. You have to hope for conservative media or Twitter to expose this stuff, because the legacy media treats this as if it's not even a story, which is just stunning to me, especially because a majority of their viewers agree with our side of this. But they're so afraid because of these young woke kids who are working in these newsrooms to offend anyone, they don't even cover the story, John.
Well, that's correct. And not only that, though, and I hate to play this card, but I've been running in this race since February, and the only media that has reached out has been since this volleyball incident. But they all talk about Stratton and Krishnamoorthy nonstop. So they're getting all this free media, and it's like they're rooting for the left. And I'm sorry.
Well,
I hate to say it, but there's a little bit of bias there.
Well, there's a lot of bias there, and they're definitely rooting for the left. There's no doubt about that. John Goodman, I really apologize for the name kerfuffle there. We won't do that again, but thanks for jumping on here on 97.1 FM Talk. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, take care. Audio cut of the day is coming up. I got a couple of things here for audio cut of the day. One of them is tennis related. I thought Sue might find this interesting, so let's do this here.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
So the U.S. Open is getting underway. You mentioned, I think it was on Friday, you're a fan of Jannik Sinner, who is one of the top men's players. I don't know how you feel about Daniil Medvedev, who is a popular player, one of the best on tour, but he is a hothead.
Yes.
And what happened last night, I don't even know if I understand this completely. He won the U.S. Open in 2021. He lost another final 2 years later. This time, he got the crowd at Louis Armstrong Stadium into a frenzy because the guy that he was playing, Benjamin Bonzi, was given a first serve when a photographer, this poor guy, the photographer, I think he's been booted from the arena, enters the court during the match while he's up match point. So the Medvedev didn't like the fact that he was awarded first serve, which means that, if I interpret this correctly, in other words, I don't know if he had the first serve already and he was able to do it over because of the photographer. So Greg Allensworth, I'm going to be honest with you. I've read several stories about this. I've seen some coverage. I'm a fan of tennis and I see these guys. I'm still a little concerned, or not concerned, but confused by what happened. So he starts going at the umpire, Greg Allensworth, for
That's
the decision.
That's never a good plan.
No, he questions his professionalism. He just starts shouting. He starts shouting at the in the microphone at the umpire.
Wait, please. Not now. Get off the court, please.
He's telling the photographer, get off the court.
First serve
to the court.
Ladies and gentlemen, because of the delay caused by an outside interference.
Bonzi getting a first serve, and now Medvedev's going to have a word.
Yeah, so he doesn't like that at all.
Medvedev encouraging the crowd right now to keep booing.
He wants to go home, guys. He doesn't like to be here. He gets paid by the match, not by the hour.
Oh, come on.
He's like, he said, he says he gets paid by the match, not by the hour. And then he starts, and this was confusing to me. I think I've figured this part of it out. Riley Opelka was right. What did Riley Opelka say? He's shouting that into the camera. What apparently, and I don't know, I think that's another player that said, this guy, Allensworth, shouldn't have a job or should be sidelined for about 4 weeks. Maybe learn a thing or two, because Opelka was penalized for swearing at a spectator at the Dallas Open. So Bonzi, in this particular case, asked for Medvedev to be penalized, even though he said there was no ill will. And, the crowd was going crazy. They were kind of on Medvedev's side in all of this. But I don't know about you, but I kind of like it when tennis gets a little...
a little spicy?
Yeah.
Well, is he the Russian McEnroe? Is that what you're essentially
sort
saying?
Sort of. Yeah. Sort of. And I think I think what happened, one of them broke a racket, too.
Of course. Venus plays tonight at 6, and that's what I want to see.
Yeah.
She's at Arthur Ashe.
You set, and that's one of the bigger venues, right?
Yes.
Because they have a bunch of different venues there. Arthur Ashe is the big one. So that was kind of interesting. I'm sure that if you're watching that match tonight, they may cover that. This will be another one of our audio cuts of the day because it features our friend Will Scharf from right here in Missouri. And a controversial topic. So this is an executive order about flag burning with Trump.
Lastly, sir, this is an executive order on flag burning. It charges your attorney general.
Would you listen to this? This is very important. Flag burning. All over the country, they're burning flags. All over the world, they burn the American flag. And as you know, through a very sad court, I guess it was a 5-4 decision, they called it freedom of speech. But there's another reason, which is perhaps much more important. It's called death. Because what happens when you burn a flag is the area goes crazy. If you have hundreds of people, they go crazy. You could do other things. You can burn this piece of paper. But when you burn the American flag, it incites riots at levels that we've never seen before. People go crazy. In a way, both ways. There are some that are going crazy for doing it. There are others that are angry about them doing it.
Well, I do believe, as reprehensible as it is, that burning the flag is a freedom of speech issue. However, I do hear some nuance in all of that because he seems to be, you know, taking it into the direction of incitement of violence.
Yeah, that's
so
weird.
But we'll see. You know, Will Scharf's a very smart attorney. Pam Bondi's a very smart attorney. Our own Ilya Shapiro will be here tomorrow. He's a very smart attorney. He calls it like he sees him on these constitutional issues. He will be with us in the 5 o'clock hour. Congresswoman Ann Wagner at 3:18. Sue, enjoy the U.S. Open tonight.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Get more at 971talk.com.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021 and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.